Zelensky has ousted Ukraine's military commander, Syrsky, which has kind of been expected for a long time. But the fact that you just got rid of the prime minister, the minister of defense, and then now the commander, what does that tell you about how things are going in the war with Iran?
They're winning. Don't you know, man? They're winning. Okay.
That's what it tells me.
This is what winners do. When you're winning and the war is going as great as it could be, you fire the commander who's in charge of your winning strategy, along with his chief of staff. Get rid of him, too. And then you get rid of the defense minister. Ukraine is in it's a mess, and it's not going to get better. This conflict between Syrsky and Fedorov, who was the defense minister, Fedorov is, think of him as Pete Hegseth with better hair, okay? But he's like a 35-year-old guy. I mean, he's even younger than Hegseth, and just as poorly informed as Hegseth. In fact, I don't think Fedorov had any military experience. So Fedorov was wanting to push all of the assets and resources into drone production. And, you know, there are lots of important people were making money off of that drone production. So there was, some benefits to be had. And Syrsky was complaining, hey, yeah, you're taking resources that we need to get troops on the front lines, albeit, you know, we're having to dragoon people and force them out before they've had any training. But, we're shorthanded, and it's getting worse. And so there was that conflict. And so initially Zelensky came down on Syrsky's side and fired Fedorov. Now, it also may have been that Fedorov was making money out of the drones and wasn't sharing it, you know, kicking it back to cocaine cowboy Zelensky. But, they fired Fedorov. Turns out Fedorov, though, you know, pretty face, handsome, popular. And so that generated a lot of protest from the key was that Europe liked him. So you could take him to a meeting and, you know, the Europeans would say, oh, we're comfortable with him. He wasn't like a big fat slob like Umarov, who was a caricature of a bad Ukrainian. So the people came out in protest. So then Zelensky got, you know, well, we got to do something. So then he fires Syrsky and replaces him with a guy that the Russians have already now indicted for war crimes and are waiting to capture him and prosecute him. So things are great because this is what you see with a winning strategy. I mean, this just exposes how nonsensical these claims have been that, oh, yeah, Ukraine's winning, Russia's losing. Gerasimov still sits in his position as the general in charge of the entire Russian military at the top of the chief of staff. They haven't had any major shakeups there at least in the last 3 years. And they're getting results on the ground.
And it turns out that the Ukrainian side is also starting to change some of their tactics in the air. And here of late, they seem to be hitting a new set of targets. This was in Krasnodar, where another Wildberries factory was hit. Just made some extraordinary imagery that looks really bad for the Russian side. Because now then it seems to me that the Ukrainian side is now going after targets that don't have as much air defense. Russia has prioritized throughout its country the air defense on its military sites. Well, that's leaving just standard, like their Amazon delivery facilities open. And that's actually causing some real problems for the economy, especially of the small and medium-sized businesses inside of Russia. And Russians are reacting to that, and they're really upset about a lot of it. What can you tell us about this change of strategy? Yeah, there's Gary's got his imagery there. This is the new one, not the one from a couple of days ago. What do you make of this?
Yeah, so anybody that's done some online ordering for their Depends or for their case of Coca-Cola, they may have to wait an extra couple of weeks. You know, so oh my God. You know, we don't have overnight delivery right now. We're that's the end of the world. Meanwhile, what Russia is doing is it's hitting every industrial manufacturing plant in Kyiv. And we've seen day after day. Oh, last night was the biggest missile strike ever. And then the day before. No, today was the biggest missile strike ever. Day before that. Today was the, you know, so they keep having the biggest missile strikes ever on those production facilities. You know, blowing up an Amazon is not the same as blowing up a drone manufacturer, drawing up an artillery manufacturer, blowing up something that has actual wartime application. That's number one. But in tandem with that, what Russia has done, they've now closed off Odessa. Odessa is now completely blockaded. Any ship trying to reach it is being blown out of the water. Any ship trying to load up there, it's getting hit while in dock. And they're doing the same to Nikolaev. And so they've basically cut Ukraine off from further resupply, at least through the Black Sea. Everything else is going to have to come overland. And on that front, Russia in the past 2 months has destroyed 200 locomotive engines. Mm. I don't know how many total Ukraine has, but I don't think they have another 200 in reserve. So they're also destroying the ability to resupply via railroad. Then you add in the ground operations, which are taking place, where you have the beginning of encirclements in Sumy and Kharkiv in the north, the development of a cauldron around Kramatorsk and Slavyansk in Donetsk, which are the last two remaining strongholds. You've got Zaporizhia. Again, they've closed in on the outskirts of Zaporizhia, the largest remaining industrial town in Ukraine. They're also operating without much opposition in Dnipropetrovsk, and then the same in Kherson. So it's not just in one area. Now we're seeing the Russians have launched on a comprehensive front. So yeah, hey, the Ukrainians have got they've been able to attack civilian facilities that are undefended. You know, that's like going around bragging that you beat up the kid in the wheelchair. I kicked his ass. You know, okay. Yeah, you're a real tough guy. You're a real tough guy. Well, why don't you go? Let's step up against the guy that's actually your size, your weight. See how you do. And that's where you know, again, Ukraine is in crisis. And again, what we've seen in the last 2 weeks with the attacks that Russia has mounted now on Kyiv, day after day after day after day, closing down Odessa, and the ground operations it's destroyed this Western propaganda that was being widely circulated that, Russia's on its back foot, Russian economy's collapsing, Russia's running out of oil, you know, on and on and on. And it's, you know, it's not true.
You know, the issue, though, Larry, is because the message and that myth is perpetuated when they see stuff like this Krasnodar shot, etc. So people can continue to believe that, and they're not even getting all the stuff. You just rattled off a whole list of things that are hidden. Almost none of that is on the Western press. People aren't even aware that it's happening. But let me show you something that is in the and that did come out in the media here, because I think it's pretty safe to say that there are certainly a cabal of elite leaders in the West, and that's not just people in government, but the so-called elite, that much is very happy with all this because they want this war to continue on. So much so that this was in the Kiev Post today from the Welt and Telegraph here, I think the day before, is that Britain and Germany are quietly developing a new long-range missile capable of striking targets up to 2,000 kilometers inside Russia as part of a major expansion of European defense cooperation. According to a report by Die Welt and Telegraph, the classified deep precision strike program has become the flagship of a project of rapidly expanding security partnership between London and Berlin with Russia as the target. What kind of reaction do you expect to come out of the Kremlin on this?
Rushnik missiles. That's how they'll react. They'll take out and destroy those facilities. They won't even get to the manufacturing stage. Russia will preempt that. you know, Russia's made it clear they're past when Peskov spoke, I guess it's now 2 weeks ago, almost three, that the special military operation is over. We're at war with NATO. He was pretty very clear on that on two separate occasions. So there's no denying that while Russia does many things well, when it comes to information operations and touting its own successes, it sucks. It's awful. I've recommended, and not tongue in cheek, and I don't have any official line of communication with the Russian government, but I say, guys, go hire those kids out of Tehran that were doing the Lego videos. You know, they were incredible. They were powerful. They were they actually influenced public opinion, because you also need to influence public opinion. You know, one of the things that it was so sorely lacking in the United States is a positive message about Russia, that we're still locked in this. So many people are still locked in this idea that Russia is this communist state, that it's an authoritarian state, that there's no freedom, there's no ability to express yourself, that they're locking everybody up in the gulag, that kind of mentality. And the average American doesn't realize that Russia is a deeply Christian nation, and very devout Christian nation, and a big emphasis upon family, and it's reflected in what you see in the society over there, where the streets are clean. There's not a lot of crime.
You spent quite a bit of time in Russia here in the last couple of years. Is that right?
Yeah. I've been there seven times since 2023, and it's not just in Moscow and St. Petersburg, but also talking to people that have been out around the country. I'm in touch with the American expats who live there. One is a former West Point graduate. He was a classmate of Keith Alexander, who used to be the head of the National Security Agency. They report on it. It's a vibrant life, and the nice thing about it is the Russians aren't sitting there conspiring, figuring out how they can conquer the world. They had to build up their military as a result of this war with Ukraine that was sponsored by and pushed by NATO. Over the last 36 years, going back to, or 26 years, going back to 2000, when Putin really came into power, Russia wasn't devoting its resources to building up military force to project in other countries. It was rebuilding its economy and its society, which has been done, and it's spectacular. Those who've been fortunate to see it.
And last question I got for you is, you said that the Russians are doing a terrible job of marketing and whatever communication, so that none of those messages are getting out as well. But the Western European leaders in particular, even worse than in the United States, only want to talk about Russia in those, you know, good and evil, whatever. They're definitely the evil side, et cetera. And the only thing they're doing is like what we just showed you on this current deal. They're looking at, and by the way, that was supposed to be effective in 2034. But it's the idea that we don't even want to contemplate any kind of an end of the war with Russia, any kind of end of the conflict. We're looking to plan out years in advance, and we just want to keep going on that direction. Is that even sustainable for Europe?
Oh, yeah, no, not at all. And in fact, when you're showing this missile, I think, well, man, I'm sure the Chinese are going to be willing to pony up some of those rare earth minerals, because the reality is, if you're going to launch a missile that's going to travel 2,000 miles, you're going to have that precision guidance system in it. That precision guidance system depends on these magnets, which China controls. And until somebody comes up with a new engineering solution, that's the reality. That's what you got to build with. And so in that regard, it's delusional. But again, it gets back to this mentality. And I think about this going back to our decision to attack Saddam Hussein after he went into Kuwait over an oil dispute back in 1990, in August of 1990, that we were not, even though I'd been at the CIA and was now at state counterterrorism, nobody pulled me aside and told me, hey, Johnson, do you realize we've been working closely with Saddam the previous 9 years in that war with that we helped them launch against Iran, and that we'd had regular meetings, and we provided him chemical weapons. We provided him biological weapons. So the question is, after he launched that invasion, why it was our initial response that we have to respond militarily as opposed to, let's sit down and talk to him. Let's find a diplomatic way out of this, because we did have once a relationship with him. And the only reason we didn't is we needed a new enemy so that we could justify a multi-million, billion-dollar defense industry. And I see that Gary's showing the bodies of the latest dead from the war with Iran are being returned.
Yeah, see, that's a dignified transfer there. I got pretty mixed feelings about that. I mean, I'm always honored, always want to honor them when they come in, because they all signed up with the expectation they were going to defend our country. And I just find it an egregious violation of that trust that we placed in our government when they're being misused like this and killed pointlessly. Well, we have that as it may. Listen, I know we're out of time here, but I really appreciate you coming on today and providing this clarity that we have here. Always a value to it. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, enjoy our discussion. I guess we'll be together in about 10 days, 12 days.
Yes, we will. Yeah, less than 2 weeks now, we will be together with Brother Robert Barnes and Alexander Mercurius and a number of other folks in Tennessee. I think there's still a few tickets left if anybody wants to go see that there. It's the 1776 Law Firm with Robert Barnes there, and always a great stuff. Looking forward to that. They'll definitely see you there in person here shortly.
All right, brother. Thanks.
All right, man. See you there, and we will see you guys. May come back later this afternoon. There's one other thing that I might want to try to get around to. Just keep watching your ticker there. Be sure and like and subscribe so that you get notified when the next video comes up here. But in any case, if anything does break in between now and then, you can count on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive to bring it to you live. Thanks, then. You know, I don't try to talk you into buying gold or tell you how to run your stock portfolio, but there is a way you can help us. Subscribe, hit that like button, and share this with somebody you love.